Jude 9, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. As I was listening to this passage this past week, it kept coming to mind the placement of this thought in Scripture, keep yourselves in the love of God, because Jude is known as the book of apostasy, where God is dealing with apostasy. And after having dealt with it thoroughly, he makes this statement, keep yourselves in the love of God. In the first few verses, he mentions Israel there in the wilderness, the people that came out of the land of Egypt, but they believed not and were destroyed. Then he mentions those in Sodom and Gomorrah. But in verse 4, he mentions a key and the reason to keep yourself in the love of God. Keeping yourself in the love of God will keep you from a lascivious lifestyle. We are living in the last days. The last days are characterized by the word apostasy. In order to keep ourselves, our families, our church from becoming apostates, we need to keep ourselves and focus on keeping ourselves in the love of God. Because here's what we're seeing, because so many are not doing that, there's a lascivious behavior, philosophy, mentality that has crept in to our independent Baptist circles. Look what it says in verse 4. For there are certain men that crept in unawares. This isn't a crowd that we expected, but a crowd with the appearance of spirituality. They've crept in unawares, unnoticed. We didn't realize we took them for spiritual men, but they were very unspiritual. They were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. How many of you noticed this wave of false teaching sweep across this land? In churches that were once sound doctrinally, now use the grace of God as an excuse for a lascivious lifestyle, and any truth that is made practical is suddenly deemed mean-spirited. And anybody that upholds a godly lifestyle now, not by the world but by the church, is being attacked and criticized. And God says very clearly, the problem is that crowd will turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave us a few examples here, but here's his point. These men are ungodly. He highlights that. Look what it says, verse 19. These be they who separate themselves. They are sensual, having not the Spirit. And here's how he describes them in verse 15. To execute judgment upon all, to convince all, look what it says, that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Do you see the point he's trying to make? This is ungodliness. No matter whether or not they put a spiritual face on it. And here's the three men that he lists. Look at verse 11. Speaking of apostasy. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. So he uses three names, three examples, Cain, Balaam, and Kor, who all had a spiritual appearance. You realize, yes, Cain killed his brother, but he did it after bringing a beautiful sacrifice to God, which many would have said, oh, that has to be acceptable. Look at his heart. Look at his sincerity. Look at his sacrifice. And his heart was so evil that he went out and murdered his brother. Balaam, as he stands there, yes, I know that he turned the nation of Israel to idolatry. That's the way he led them. But first he was a prophet, and he was full of the Spirit of God when he proclaimed truth and blessed the nation of Israel. And Korah, a spiritual leader, one with a spiritual office, who led a rebellion against God's man, and God slew him. Do you see how each one of these apostates came with a spiritual face? That's the point that God is trying to make. Now, let me just say this before we move forward with this thought. This isn't talking about salvation. I know some would say, and the first time I heard this, I was speaking to a Pentecostal pastor over 25 years ago, and he was trying to use text to prove the loss of salvation. And this is one he brought to my attention. Keep yourself in the love of God. Now listen, folks, this isn't talking about you trying to gain God's love. You're way out of context, and you don't have to do anything to earn His love. Aren't you glad that God's love is unconditional? I'm glad I don't wake up every day worried about my salvation. I know God loves me, and I know I failed Him, and I know I've messed up, but I also know His love is constant, His love is faithful, and I don't have to get up every day trying to earn His love or regain His love. I know that God loves me. This is talking about keeping yourself in your spiritual life. This isn't salvation, but sanctification. Keeping yourself in the love of God. Now, here's why this is so important. Because I truly believe this is the problem in Christianity. There's not enough focus in our hearts and our minds about keeping ourselves in the love of God. This has to be a daily focus. Because everything that we do in the society that we live in our flesh, our human nature, and I believe, you know, Satan gets so much credit for things he hasn't even done. And Satan did this, and Satan did that. And Satan is not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not dealing with you. Your flesh is giving you fits. If you get victory over the flesh, that Satan might concern himself with you. But until you learn to control your flesh, he's not even concerned about you. And here's what we have to understand when it comes to this matter of keeping ourselves in the love of God. We are only this far from committing some of those heinous and horrendous sins that we look at others and say, wow, that is just wicked. And here's why God makes it an emphasis in this book to keep ourselves in the love of God, because without doing that, we too will find ourselves committing sin that will surprise ourselves that we did that, we thought that, we acted in that manner. Keep yourselves in the love of God. We have to make this a top priority and then say, okay, I've got to identify anything that begins to draw me away from the love of God, because here's what happens. Satan is so subtle in all this, and the flesh is just such a natural part of our being to just wander from the love of God. So when we wake up, let me ask you this. Even when you're focused, even on your best day, even if it's a revival missions conference, if it's Sunday, do we not struggle with that matter of keeping ourselves in the love of God? Now, if you don't do anything else, keep yourself in the love of God. You say, preacher, I'm down and I'm hurt and I'm weak. Keep yourself in the love of God. If you don't do anything else, keep yourself in the love of God. Well, I'm struggling in my marriage. I'm struggling in my ministry. I'm struggling with my children. Keep yourself in the love of God. Because the heart grows cold. And we have these moments where we're on fire and we're fervent and we're energetic. And the next morning we wake up. And listen, it doesn't matter what the factor is. Sometimes it's just physical illness. Sometimes it's just tiredness. How many of you have noticed that with age, it's just tougher to keep yourself in the love of God? Age. I'm just talking about age. All that enthusiasm, all that energy that you could direct towards God now is nearly non-existent. And it doesn't matter what medication, pill, vitamin, health drink, nutritional value you have in that juice, you just don't have the same energy to love God that you had before. Keep yourself now. This is a personal and an individual order, and here's what we want in life. We want somebody else or something else to help keep us in the love of God. This is your job. And as much as I want to keep my kids in the love of God, I can keep them in an area where it facilitates their love for God, but they have to make a personal choice to keep themselves in the love of God. Here's what we want. We want the pastor to keep us in the love of God.
So when we come on a Sunday, we want the message to be so powerful and the Holy Spirit to be so present that we walk out of here and it keeps us in the love of God till Wednesday night. And then Wednesday night is so powerful, it keeps us in the love of God until the next Sunday. God says, keep yourself in the love of God. Because if you don't, it's a lascivious lifestyle and apostasy that'll result. You've seen this. How many times? You saw someone you were impressed with. You thought they were on fire. You thought they were fervent. And years later, you said, how in the world did they reach that point? How in the world are they participating in that lifestyle, in that kind of behavior? How can they talk like that? How can they think like that? How can they blaspheme like that? How can they be that distant from God, from church, from the brethren? How in the world did they reach that level? Keep yourself in the love of God. How many found yourself? It doesn't matter if you're fasting, it's a struggle to keep yourself in the love of God. It doesn't matter if you've predetermined your mind, I'm going to read 10 pages a day or 15 pages a day or a book a day. It's still a struggle to keep yourself in the love of God. You set up accountability. You have family devotions. You ask your wife, listen, we need to work at this together as a team, and you still struggle to keep yourself in the love of God. And here's what we do. We always try to point a finger and look at something else that caused us to falter in our love. And here's what some people will say, the preaching's just too hard. And others say, the preaching's just too soft. And others will say, the music just doesn't do what it used to do. You know, I remember the day. I remember Miss Lewis used to stand up and sing before the service, and that would stir up something in. Listen, if you need Miss Lewis to stir up the love of God in your soul, you're going to have a problem on Monday. If you need the preacher, what are you going to do when the preacher's not around? If you need some other factor, here's what God said. It is your duty on Monday and Tuesday. It doesn't matter if it's in the morning, the afternoon, the evening. It doesn't matter if it's vacation. You start feeding your flesh chocolate, eggnog, ham, and turkey, pumpkin pie. Next thing you know, you're waking up in the flesh. Your flesh is pretty happy with that. The love of God takes a back seat. Here's what God is saying in this book. He's identifying what apostasy is and who the apostates are and how to avoid apostasy. And he says, keep yourself in the love of God. This is why, listen, it shouldn't be that difficult to understand the dangers of internet, the dangers of television, the dangers of Facebook, the dangers of a cell phone. It doesn't matter if it was all Bible. It doesn't matter if it was all good. It doesn't matter if that Facebook was all positive in nature when you were talking about your life or someone else's life. That's just something that doesn't stir up a love for God. Everything in this world and everything in nature tends to turn off what should be turned on, the love of God. So literally, it has to be a continual focus where we're saying, okay, I'm identifying anything that has a negative effect on my love for God. This is why some of you should not listen to classical music. Is classical music in and of itself sinful? Absolutely not. But you know it doesn't do anything to stir up in you a love for God. So your spiritual life goes into neutral because there's no focus on keeping yourself in the love of God. You go to work and everything around you is about the flesh, about the world. And you're trying to survive in that environment. And if you're not saying, I must keep myself in the love of God, next thing you know, you'll come to church with no interest. You'll look at souls with no passion. You'll read your Bible and be bored out of your mind. You'll pray with your kids and won't even figure out why you're praying. It's just a matter of how quickly I can get this over with. Let's mention a few names. Let's pray for a few people. And let's sign off for the evening. You have not kept yourself in the love of God. And everyone is our excuse, and everything is our excuse, and it's never my fault. And until you realize it's an individual responsibility, it is only my fault. If I'm not in the love of God today, it's only one person's fault. It is my fault because I'm supposed to keep myself in the love of God. It's amazing the littlest things that'll distract us and mess with the love of God and turn off that fire. They're supposed to be lit. Satan is so trivial, he'll use a parking spot, a homework assignment, a weather change, get you out of the love of God. Now, here's the problem with that. If it happens for a day or 2 days or 3 days, it's a dangerous spiritual situation. But any prolonged length of time is a path that leads to apostate behavior. You get out of the love of God long enough, you're going to become lascivious. So when you start to become lascivious, you look around at someone that's lascivious, you know immediately God identifies the root problem. The root problem is they're not walking in the love of God. They're not keeping themselves in the love of God. So if you have a child that's lascivious, you need to say, they're not keeping themselves in the love of God. What can we do here to remedy the situation where they understand they have to keep themselves? This is spiritual maturity. Keep yourself in the love of God. So identify those things that affect your love for God. That may be a friend. I don't care how small it may seem to you. This is what I've told our young people. It's just hard for me to believe that Google Plus helps keep you in the love of God. Hard for me to believe that Instagram and Snapchat will help keep you in the love of God. Hard for me to believe that hours in front of that TV will keep you in the love of God. Hard for me to believe that those calluses that you formed on your thumbs playing Xbox or some other game will keep you in the love of God. You're walking in the love of God. It becomes obvious in a million different ways, but just not revealed by the way you're talking or the way you're living. So here's a question. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? Aren't you glad that he not only gives us the command, but he gives us the way to do it? Look what he says, verse 20. But ye beloved, number one, put a little number one right there in your Bibles because the Bible gives us the outline. Put a little number one right there and circle it. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Your whole philosophy in Christianity, in your spiritual life, ought to be building. Am I building? Am I building on my most holy faith? Is my faith growing? Is the faith the foundation of my Christian life? Now let me ask you this. Is your faith stronger today than it was yesterday? Then you're not keeping yourself in the love of God. Can you say my faith is at its strongest point in my walk with God? Today, my faith has never been stronger. I'm building on my most holy faith because everything this world says and everything this world does, this is why it's so important. Turn the radio off. Turn the TV off. Put the newspaper down. Unplug yourself from all that information because it is an attack on your most holy faith, and start to fill your mind. You are what you consume. You consume Fox News, you will become Fox News. You consume CNN. You consume Rush Limbaugh. You consume Alex Jones. You consume that information, and the next thing you know, do you realize what's going to happen? Yes, I've read Revelation. I have a pretty good idea it's going to get bad real quick. But my focus is on him. My focus is not on that. And he builds my most holy faith. That tears down and destroys and weakens my most holy faith. I'm supposed to be building up on my most holy faith. You've watched people become apostates. And you know what you saw at some point in their life? Cracks in their faith. I had a pastor friend came visit us in Mexico. We're going out for a coffee. He began to say things. Here's a man pastoring 250, 300 people. He began to say things. And I sat and I
thought and I looked, and I only saw him once a year, so I didn't realize his state of mind. A year later, he was out of the ministry, divorced from his wife. You know what happened? He stopped building upon his most holy faith. You've got to purpose in your heart. I have to be determined that I will be growing and building upon my most holy faith. So whatever it is that's an attack on my faith, I've got to push those things out of my life. This is a day and age, more than ever before, I have to be growing and building upon my faith. And when you stop doing that, you're not keeping yourself in the love of God. All of a sudden, your mind's barraged by questions. You know why the average church is losing their teenagers? Mom and dad have never taught them, never taught those children to keep themselves in the love of God. They taught them to sing the songs, attend the services, meet the standards, fulfill the requirements. I never taught them. You keep yourself in the love of God. You got to keep yourself. Well, I'm only 10. You got to keep yourself in the love of God. Amen. Mom and dad can help you. The school can help you. Everything around here is supporting that. But you have, how many times have you seen a child in this environment, all the rules, all the regs, all the Bible, all the teaching, and with that much positive peer pressure, they still can't keep themselves in the love of God? You have to build upon your most holy faith in order, and anything that's attack on your faith has to be eliminated from your life. So if you're strong enough to watch all the craziness that is on television, that's not creating cracks in your faith. Listen, folks, on the best day of your life, when you tune out all the garbage that is in this world, it's unbelievable how the circumstances of this life consume our thoughts when God, and keeping ourselves in the love of God. How many have come to the realization in your Christian life how easy the love for God and the love of God is affected? Here's one of the common ways love for God is affected in a parent. The behavior of their child affects the love of God, that parent. That child becomes a teenager, begins to complain, and a parent can't. It's not mature enough spiritually to keep themselves in the love of God. Child goes wayward, and the parent's not mature enough to keep themselves in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. How do you do that? You build upon, you have to be building upon your most holy faith. Look what number two is. Praying, and let me just say this, look at verse 23. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Mark this last phrase, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. When you're built up in your most, what? Holy faith. You know what apostasy is? Ungodliness, lasciviousness, based upon a false teaching of grace. You'll hate even the garments spotted by the flesh. Number two, look what it says in verse 20. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Number two, praying in the Holy Ghost. Here's why the average Christian is so susceptible to falling out of the love of God. We're not praying in the Holy Ghost. Preacher, can we pray for the missionaries in India? How about if you pray for yourself today? So you know what? There are temptations that I'm faced with, bad habits that I've formed, lack of godliness in my life, unkindness in my behavior. How about if we pray in the Holy Spirit? You know, praying in the Holy Spirit's not in a hurry. Praying in the Holy Spirit doesn't last 5 minutes. Praying the Holy Spirit deals with our own sin first. Praying the Holy Spirit is life-changing. You know why there are so few Christians that actually keep themselves in the love of God 7 days a week? Because there are few Christians that actually pray in the Holy Spirit 7 days a week. So God says, listen, there are three keys here. You got to build up yourselves upon your most holy faith. But you've got to make it a regular habit to pray in the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you this. Let's just consider our prayer lives for just a minute. Let's just take the past 30 days as our example and consider not our public prayer, but our personal prayer life, that which we do in secret, and say how much prayer in my life takes place that is done in the Spirit.
If that is an essential part of keeping ourselves in the love of God, it's no wonder that we struggle to keep ourselves in the love of God. Have you ever been there? The love of God, it was a flame, it was a passion, it was fervent, it was desire. No one had to stoke it, no one had to fan it. There was something inside, and it was burning, and you wished it would just last, but it doesn't. The revival's over, the conference ended, you finished reading your Bible, you brought that flame of fire to someone else, and they just put it out. You know, 5 gallons of water right on top of it. You know, you did that fire for God, and you ran out there. You thought you were going to talk to someone about Christ, and then they were just rude and mean, and fire was gone. That you heard something, you saw something. Maybe it was another Christian's behavior. Maybe it was something they said. Maybe it was even the pastor, and it just, you know, if that's Christianity, keep yourself in the love of God. Here's how you do it. You see that flame go out, you immediately relight it. Have you ever dealt with a pilot light before and it was stubborn? I remember those heaters that we had in Mexico, those gas heaters. We wouldn't use them all year, and then we'd go to light them that the cold would hit, and you forget all about it, and you're doing fine. You haven't used that thing in 6 or 8 months, and all of a sudden a cold snap hits, and boy, it drops down about 35 or 40 degrees in that house. You go over to that heater, and you click, 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 that electronic click. And it just click, click, click. And you check the gas valves and you take the heater off and you try to clean it. And you shake it and you bang it and you put it back on and click. Have you ever been there in your spiritual life? I am not getting this fire lit. I mean, I've tried it. I've made some phone calls. I brought in some fine electricians. No one's helping me out. It's just not happening. I can't get this fire relit. Here's what you don't want to do. If you let that go long enough, getting that fire relit, that's why God said, keep yourself. That's a daily thing. Keep yourself in the love of God. And the way to do that is pray in the Spirit. Number 3, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. 3 simple thoughts. So number 1, we're supposed to build up ourselves in our most holy faith. We're supposed to, number 2, pray in the Holy Ghost. And number 3, look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Look for his return. You know, as a young kid growing up in a Baptist church, we were actually looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you were going to Baptist, and you've been in Baptist churches in the 80s? How many of you remember that? The wave of Christian films and the preaching on the rapture. In all the conferences, they weren't called leadership conferences. They weren't teaching you methods to build a big church. They were called premillennial conferences. They were preaching on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But boy, I'd sit in those services, and I was imagining the trumpet sounding. How many remember in the 80s, you walk outside and you see a cloud in the sky, and you'd be like, okay. How many of you got saved mid-service because you believe the rapture could happen? You just wanted to make sure once again. Just saying, Lord, just making sure. Just putting on my seatbelt. Putting everything in order. If I'm not saved, I just want to make sure everything's good to go. Today, right now, just in case. We were looking for the return. And now, the most faithful Christians never crosses their mind. Months can pass. And they never think about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They live as if he were never coming back. You know what will keep you in the love of Christ? When you're living every single day with the hope of his return. You're living every single day so prepared that if he came back today, your family's in order, your finances in order, your friendships are in order, you've witnessed to those that you need to witness to, you've made things right with those that you've hurt, you can sit back and say, I know everything is in order and I'm ready for his return. That's not the church in 2015. Now, here's how you know if you're keeping yourself in the love of God. Verse 22, some having compassion make a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know what will happen when you're walking in the love of God, you're living a compassionate life that is making a difference in the lives of others. As you reach out to save a soul, you're saying, I'm not going to allow myself to be contaminated by the garbage in this world, but I am going to be saving those and helping those and showing compassion on those in the world.